Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Let me repeat again an announcement I've been making over the last week or two. You can hear previous episodes of this program if you go to our website, renewalministries.net. That's just all small letters, no caps, renewalministries.net/FFJ. And clicking on archives. If you do that, you can listen to past programs, yesterday's program, as well as I think we keep up a week or two at a time. So you'd be able to go back and review or re-listen to any. It's renewalministries.net/FFJ. Today, we celebrate the feast of actually two saints, St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, the great saint in the, with the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and also Saint Hedwig. Now, I don't know that we know Saint Hedwig very well. She was wed at the age of 12 to Henry, the Duke of Cilicia, and among their many foundations were a hospital and a house for lepers and a Cistercian women's convent near present-day Poland. And after Henry's death, Hedwig donned a habit and devoted herself to prayer and almsgiving in the company of the nuns. She was accustomed to serving the poor, as when she took in an elderly woman whom she painstakingly taught to pray the Our Father over the course of 10 weeks. Talk about perseverance. Hedwig died in 1243, and one of the many healings attributed to her was the healing of a blind girl during Hedwig's canonization mass in the year 1267. I love reading stories like that because they're true. They're true. We often only turn to God as a last resort when there's need for healing. Turn to God first. Go to doctors, get the help you need, absolutely. But put everything in God's hands first. And in the middle, and at the end, because God so often wants to heal, desires to draw us close. He allows sometimes difficulties so that we get very clear on what our priorities are, who we are, and where we're going. So St. Margaret Mary Alacoque and St. Hedwig are both great saints to pray to, and ask them to pray for you that your love for God may increase, and your love for his people may increase. Let's take a look now at the first reading. Is from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. Brothers and sisters, for freedom Christ set us free. So stand firm and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. We've been talking about that this week and the end of last week. We become slaves to so many things, to the world's values, to saying that this is important and that's important, and they're all the values of this world. And they aren't going to lead us to God. We get consumed by them. Isn't that true? We start at saying, once or twice this year I'll do X or Y. And very soon, the once or twice a year becomes once or twice a month, once or twice a week, until we're overpowered by it. I wish I had time to walk you through that process. But the point is that we are very easily addicted to things. I'm not talking necessarily drugs. We're addicted to pride. We're addicted to having the gratitude of other people. So we give them things, but we do it for the wrong reason. We do it for selfish reasons. And on and on and on. Our values, our desires can be so easily twisted and warped because of our selfishness. And that's why daily we need to ask the Lord, help me to take on your priorities, not mine. Your values, not the world's. Help me to see what your priorities and your values are and give me the grace to yield to them rather than those that just serve me and serve my emotional life or my physical life. Think about it. Think about what is it in your life that, in a certain sense, controls you. It may lead to drinking. It can lead to drugs. It can lead to promiscuity of all kinds. We're always looking for some kind of satisfaction. And the only place we're going to find true satisfaction is in God, who loves us, who will not destroy us, but bring us to healing and wholeness. What choices are you making? First reading today from Galatians, again, brothers and sisters, for freedom Christ set us free. So stand firm and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. It is I, Paul, who am telling you that if you have yourselves circumcised, Christ will be of no benefit to you. Once again, I declare to every man who has himself circumcised that he is bound to observe the entire law. You are separated from Christ, you who are trying to be justified by the law. You're trying to do all these things so that the law will justify you. It's only God who justifies us by his grace and his power. He says you have fallen from grace, for through the Spirit by faith we await the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. In other words, the Jews had their law, but what Paul is trying to say here is under Christ, what is of value is not circumcision or uncircumcision or any of the other laws of the Jews. What's important is faith. Faith in God working through love. Does your faith guide you, and do you do everything with love? Those are the critical questions. And Paul's trying to help them to see that. Because we so easily as human beings can obey the law for the sake of having obeyed the law. I have obeyed the law. I am righteous. I have done everything the commandments tell me. There is no sin in me. Do you see the pride? If we're really following God, we should fall more in love with him. He should become more and more the center of our lives. He should occupy us more and more and more. Occupy our thinking. Occupy our desires. Occupy our decisions. God wants to be one with us. Will you give him that right? You have free will. Psalm 119. Let your mercy come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Take not the word of truth from my mouth, for in your ordinances is my hope. I will keep your law continually. I will walk at liberty because I seek your precepts. I will delight in your commands, which I love, and I will lift up my hands to your commands. I will meditate on your statutes. That's a powerful part. Read all of Psalm 119. It's a long psalm. Read it. Read it out loud. I've said that many times to you before. But please, read it out loud, because we're so easily distractible that you can say, oh, yeah, I read it. But did any of it penetrate your mind? Did it lead to inspiration? Did it lead to insight? Did it lead to calling you to follow the Lord more closely? That's what should be the fruit of listening to the Lord and to his word. So I really urge you, let your mercy come to me, O Lord, and I will lift up my hands to your commands. I will meditate on your statutes. In other words, that's the center of my life. That's what I will pay attention to. Is your life like that? Today, on this 16th, we have these saints to pray with us and to help us and to lead us safely home, safely home. Let's take a look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 37 to 41. After Jesus had spoken, a Pharisee invited him to dine at his home. He entered and reclined at table to eat. The Pharisee was amazed to see that he did not observe the prescribed washing before the meal. There were so many rules, 600, I think it's 631 precepts that they were to obey. Do you see how you can get taken in, that the law becomes more important than Christ, becomes more important than God, and we start judging one another on how we obey the law? Let's get our eyes, we do need to obey the commandments, but let's get our eyes on loving him. The great saint, Margaret Mary Alacoque, and her love for the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. My goodness, brothers and sisters, how she loved God. And she would pray for us that we too might know him, that we too might love him. You don't want to get caught up, as Scripture says, in every jot and tittle of the law. My goodness, brothers and sisters, we become enslaved to the law. When we seek to obey Christ and his commands, we genuinely become free. Free because his Spirit dwells within us. His Spirit that is life, that is love, that is wisdom, dwells within us and will lead us to the fullness of truth. But we've got to make choices. You can't drift into the kingdom of heaven. You can't just hope that you'll get there. You need to make the choices. What are my priorities? What am I basing my life on? What are my goals? That's the purpose of making retreats, to examine your conscience, to look at your life, and then not to make 1,000 decisions. Make one decision. Start living by that one decision. And watch what begins to happen to the rest of your life. You'll have to make other decisions too, but start with one. If you feel like my priorities are kind of skewed, that God really isn't at the center of my daily life, then ask him, what should I pay attention to here? What one thing could I do differently? I would highly recommend that you make sure God has at minimum 15 minutes of yourself before you go to work, before you leave the house, before you begin the day. I really encourage a half hour or an hour, but start with 15 minutes if you're not accustomed to it. As I mentioned a week or so ago in a program, put him first in your day, and that will help you to begin to refer to him throughout the day. If you start the day with him, you're more likely to relate to him or turn to him at different times during the day. That's what he wants. He wants to walk with you. But our minds are so filled with so much that we can get distracted and never think of God at all. Never think of the most important person in our life, and the most important goal in life we could possibly have is to come to union with him. And the Pharisees, now back to this gospel, are arguing and fighting over who was observing the prescribed washings of the day. And the Lord said to, O you Pharisees, although you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish inside, you are filled with plunder and evil. You fools! Because what are they doing? They're simply feeding their pride because we observe the law. We do everything right. And all they're doing is feeding their own egos, their own pride, their own arrogance. And Jesus says to them, you fools, did not the maker of the outside also make the inside? But as to what is within, give alms, and behold, everything will be clean for you. In other words, one of the ways to change is to do something for the poor, something that you continue to do. Give something away. That can help to reprioritize your life. But most of all, come to him and ask him to enter your heart more deeply. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.